Hi, I'm Piper.
And I'm Erin.
Welcome to Off the Tracks podcast, where we explore what it means to do law differently. Today's episode is in partnership with Lawbroker, legal's first customer experience platform powered by lawyers. Lawbroker is a recommendation and matching platform that helps drive new business to solo and small practices throughout Canada. With its mission to simplify the accessibility of legal services, Lawbroker has built a platform that mimics everyday consumer applications, bringing familiarity and convenience to the legal industry. As a lawyer, you make the first move, opening up an entirely new revenue stream for your practice, all while putting you in control of your own demand.
Today, we are joined by Pauline Chan. Pauline has over a decade of legal experience in a national firm as in-house counsel and as a solo practitioner helping businesses of all sizes, from sole proprietors to multinational corporations. Her industry experience includes e-commerce, software as a service, baking, manufacturing, health and wellness, and many others. Pauline recently joined the legal tech platform Good Lawyer as the lawyer in residence because she is passionate about expanding access to legal help for small businesses and, on the other side, improving the future of law for historically marginalized lawyers. She also has experience owning and running her own bar fitness studio, giving her firsthand experience of what it takes to help small and mid-sized enterprises succeed. So thank you so much for joining us today, Pauline. I know I've seen you a lot through Good Lawyer, but it's so nice to be able to sit down and have this virtual conversation with you. And we're so happy you're here.
Thanks so much for having me, you guys. I feel so very honored to have been invited to speak today.
Oh my gosh, Pauline, we are so excited. We cannot wait to hear a little bit more about how your career has evolved over time, because I know that there have been so many layers to it. So can you walk us through your career journey just a little bit to start?
Yeah, for sure. It kind of started, honestly, in my undergrad. I've always sort of had a lot of different interests at the same time. And so this is exactly what happened in university. I kind of went back and forth in different majors and different courses. And then eventually I just had to pick one, otherwise I was going to end up in school forever. So I ended up doing a business degree in marketing. And then I also did an energy economics degree as well. So I left, when I left university, I ended up working in a research institute where I did energy economic research. And then from there, I did that for a few years. And then I thought, you know, I have this other part of my education that I want to try out. So I ended up working, co-owning, I guess, an insurance agency. And I was the marketing person for that agency. And then after that, I ended up in a marketing role at Smart Technologies. At that point, I was going through a divorce. Long story short, my then husband fired me with no notice or anything. And I called my mom crying, and I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And my mom was a legal assistant at a law firm. So she says to me, well, he can't do that. That's, you know, there's employment laws about this. And so through the whole divorce process and this employment situation, I ended up realizing that I was lucky that I had my mom to tell me this, but there's a lot of people out there who probably don't have this kind of access to help or information, even just to know what to start, know where to start, basically. So And then actually just through talking to my divorce lawyer, I realized, you know what, maybe law school would be a fun thing to do. So that's how I ended up in law. So I went off to Dal, and then I finished my degree at U of C. And then when I was done, I ended up articling at a big firm. I kind of ended up on that track like from probably a week before law school started, even, because like that's when they were sending out the messages about, if you want to do on-campus interviews, you better start sending out your resume. And I hadn't even stepped into law school yet. And here I am handing out resumes, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? But I guess this is what you do. So I did it. So I ended up, I fast forward, law school's done. I'm articling at a big firm. And then at this point, one of the lawyers says to me, oh, we were talking about our weekend, I think. And he's like, oh, you still have non-lawyer friends? And I was like, what? What are you talking about? And he says, yeah, well, you know, I a lot of lawyers basically start to lose all of their non-lawyer friends because they don't understand when, you know, we're canceling plans and, you know, for the 800th time because we have to work, or, you know, a very last minute, we can't make it, we can't do this, we can't go on vacation. That's kind of the moment I think I was like, uh-oh, what did I, like, I could kind of had a sense of it, but when he said this, I just thought, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. Like, I can't, I don't think this is right for me. So I'm practicing, and then I'm end up in a situation where things are not going well for my mental health. And so I think, okay, well, maybe I'll try in-house. I end up going in-house. I do this for a while. And then I'm just thinking, you know what, this is not for me. The stress, the pressure, constant mental health issues, this is not something I want to do forever. So I start looking around for other things to do, and my exit plan turns into the bar studio. So yeah, I'm doing that for a few years. Things are great. I'm loving life. And then before you know it, I run into a good lawyer and they offer me an advice session because I'm an entrepreneur. And I write back and I'm like, well, I don't really need the advice session, but I'm really curious what you guys are doing over there. So I find out what's going on. And the next thing you know, I've joined them. I start practicing on their platform. And then fast forward to just a couple months ago, and I've now joined them part time on their team to help improve the lawyer experience. So it's kind of twisty turny everywhere.
Yes. And I love it because I get those emails from you, Pauline, and I love them. So thank you so much for making the experience for lawyers on the platform so great. And we will get back to Good Lawyer in a second, but can you tell us a bit more about the studio and the decision to open or to get into that area, and what it was like for you at Bar West?
Yeah, sure. So I guess it started with while I was practicing. It really was unfortunate. One of my good friends and associates in the firm had fallen off a horse and broken her arm. And she ended up in the hospital for a month. And I remember talking to her at that time and being like, you're so lucky. I wish I had broken something. I wish I was hurt just enough so that I could be in the hospital for a month so I didn't have to work. And at the time, it seemed like this was perfectly normal to say, like there was really no other way to get time off except for that. And it was sort of through talking to other people that I kind of realized, you know, that's actually, there's a problem here. So it was sort of trying to get myself into a better position that I realized that something that would help is fitness, which is something I've always been happy about, and lots of fitness in my life and sports and things like that. So I started looking around. At that time, I think there had just been a bar studio that had just opened up in Calgary. And so I took a few classes and I was like just instantly hooked. It's very much a practice type exercise. And so as we know, practice really means that you just keep doing it. You're never going to be perfect at it. You're never going to be great at it. So it's a challenge every time you do it. And so that really spoke to me, and it made me feel good again. It, you know, made me feel good in all of the ways, mentally, physically. So I kind of got addicted to it. And then I ended up meeting an instructor, one of my instructors. And then at this point, I'm thinking about leaving law practice, and I'm thinking, well, you know, fitness is something I've always been really, that's always been a part of my life, and I'm really passionate about it. So maybe there's something there. So I end up talking to one of my favorite instructors who had moved up here from California, and she's about to go back to California for a trip to visit family for a couple months. And so one day after class, I catch her and I'm like, hey, so I'm not really ready right now, but when you get back from your trip, I'd really love to connect and talk more about instructing and studios and things like that. And that's all I really said. And she gave me this funny look and she said, you know, I was thinking the exact same thing I wanted to talk to you about. And she goes, let's talk when we get back. And if it's still a thing, then we'll just assume that the universe wants us to do this. So off she goes and she comes back. And then next thing you know, we're talking about opening up a studio. And so of course I have to go through all the hoops of becoming an instructor. And I just love teaching. It is my favorite thing about all of it. I just love teaching. I love helping people understand how to move their bodies in a class so that they can take that out into the real world and use those skills to be strong and balanced and all of the things in the real world, in their everyday life. So next thing you know, we work on this for a little while. And along the way, you know, things are coming up. I have my first baby. She ends up taking a different job. And so the plans kind of go on hold. And then, of course, I am pregnant now with my second baby. And she comes back to me and says, hey, so the studio in the city, they're planning on giving up their lease. They're wondering if we'd be interested in checking out their space. And I said to her, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not really in a position to do that. I'm about to have my second baby. And she's like, yeah, I'm not really either. Things are going great with my job, but you know, let's just call it a research and development project. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. So we go, we have the meeting. And then of course, right after the meeting, we're looking at each other like, oh, I think this might be a thing. I think this is actually going to happen. So fast forward, all of a sudden, I think within 4 months of that meeting that we open up Bar West in our space. And I teach my first class. I'm 7 months pregnant and I teach my first class at my studio that night. And I'm so excited about it. I mean, it was the best feeling ever. Like all of the paper and all of the meetings and all of the things that you do to get up to that point, and suddenly I get to open the door to a place that is mine. And it's something that we've been working on and off for, you know, six years. Some people jump into it right away. It just never was our moment. And then all of a sudden we get to that meeting and it is our moment. And yeah, open up the studio. And yeah, I am 7 months pregnant and I'm like, there's no way. And there's some conversation about, are you sure you want to teach the class? And I'm like, I'm teaching the class. The only way I'm not teaching the class is if the baby comes out of me during class. This is just happening. So yeah, that's kind of how I ended up opening up a studio.
Pauline, that's incredible. And I love like how that trajectory was so probably like unexpected and just came from like being curious and trying something new. And like, it's a great example of how like putting yourself out there and just like following something that interests you can really benefit you in the long run. And so I guess like Erin and I are really curious, what has like a day in the life of a practicing lawyer? Because like, I know, what year was it when you opened Bar West?
That would have been 2018.
Okay. So I know it was a few years ago. So what was like a day in the life, like of like a practicing lawyer, like full steam ahead and like a full-time fitness studio owner? Like what did that look like for you? Because, and also with a newborn and another young child.
Yeah. So I always want to tell people I for sure, just to start with, I did not do it all. I had a baby. Yes. But it was as soon as I went back to full-time work, which was at about 8 to 10 weeks, mainly because I was just so excited to get back to the studio. My husband took on full-time parenting duties. And so he is the one who took care of all the feedings and like all of the things at home so that I could make it out into the studio to teach class and I could have a full night's sleep so that I was in a good physical situation to actually teach a full class. So I always want to start by saying like there was and it's not just my husband, my family, his family, friends, like there is a whole network of people behind us that helped make this happen. My partners were fully understanding that this was going on. They supported me in so many ways so that I could do the things that I wanted to. And so it wasn't just me. But yeah, so I guess it's quite the juggle, but I also think that like, so, you know, like I wake up in the morning, I get on my laptop and then I'm starting to go through client emails and whatever, working on drafting documents, reviewing contracts, things like that. And then the whole time I'm doing this, I'm listening to music, playing fitness music in my ears so that I can then, you know, if a song comes up and I'm like, okay, tuck that away for my bar playlist, tuck that away. So it's a little bit of, I would like to say it's complimentary multitasking because I would be listening to music anyway. I might as well make it bar fitness music so that I can then tuck those songs away for my playlist for class. Yeah. So then, and then next thing you know, and then there's a lot of studio work that obviously it's just like any other business. There's a lot of studio work that happens on the computer, right? So I'm sending emails, you know, creating manuals, program manuals, back-end customer service stuff on our sort of point of sale software and stuff like that. And then, yeah, hop down to the studio, get dressed, hop down to the studio, and then start teaching class. I'm playing music. I'm in teaching. So for those, I guess, for people who've not done a bar class before, you're exercising to the music. And so there's a big element of, it's not the same as just teaching, say, like a yoga class where the music is more background. I'm actually teaching music to the beat and to the phrases of the music. And so I'm both listening to the music, but also using it in the movement and sort of keeping track of where I am in my class, how many reps have I done on the side, and then I got to even it out on the other side and things like that. So I do find it's quite the opposite situation. So I'm sitting at a desk, really focused, really in my head. And then I turn around and I'm teaching a class and I'm talking to people. I'm giving them cues for movement, how to move, technique tips. And then I'm also listening to music and moving my own body at the same time. So there's very much, I'm both in my head, but also very much in my body. I need to feel the music in my body to know, okay, coming up in 4, 3, 2, 1, we're going to change into whatever else we're doing next. So to me, it's a really fantastic balance of doing different things with my brain. And I find that it's quite refreshing to switch from one to the other.
I think, like, just briefly, I have talked about this before on the podcast, but I had been working at a spin studio and I actually just worked my last shift like earlier in May. And I wasn't teaching spin. I think that's a common misconception. I was on the people team. So I was like the welcoming committee and making sure everyone was having a positive experience. But I'd so often get asked by people, like, why do you work at the spin studio? And my first answer is always like, it works a really different part of my brain than I work the rest of the day. I go there, I put on the Pipe It Up playlist, because Pipe It Up is my nickname at the spin studio. I put on the specially curated Pipe It Up playlist, you know, get the good vibes in the studio and make people feel welcome. I hope people enjoy like my Disney pop throwbacks. And I totally know what you mean. Obviously I wasn't teaching, but spin is also very to the beat. So when I go take a spin class, it's like very musical, and you're really focused on like how your body is moving to the music, and just like everything you're saying is really resonating. And I think it's cool, like everybody has things that they do outside of work, regardless of if it's law or something else, that works a different part of their brain, whether they realize it or not. And I think like having those different avenues to pursue throughout the day is just like really overall like helps you live a more well-rounded like life and being.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's such a good way to, you know, and I just think like, so, you know, you're working on whatever it is you're doing in law and you're so focused in with this problem and you're just staring at it in the face and you keep trying to figure out how you're going to fix this and, you know, how to address it. Then I just find that when I've run off and I've taught this class and I've been out of that part of my brain and I'm, like you said, focused on the music, how my body feels with the music, what I'm doing, when I come back, I just feel like, okay, I have this whole new, like, almost like a light bulb moment. It's just, I look at things and I'm like, oh, why didn't I see this before? This is so, you know, it's just staring me in the face. Everything, I should have been thinking about it this way. And then, so I feel like it's such a good way to step away and then step back with a fresh set of eyes.
That is a great way to think about it, because I often feel like sometimes I get stuck spinning my wheels and then I take a break and come back and I'm like, obviously it was here the whole time. How did I not see that? So I like to hear how other people take time to step away and use different parts of their brain. And thank you so much for sharing a bit more about that unique dual career that you've had. And I know that you've had many other trajectories in your career, but circling back, I love using that term because I never actually use it. I just see it in memes. But how did joining Good Lawyer change the trajectory of your career? And can you tell us a bit more about this exciting new role at Good Lawyer?
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I would say a Good Lawyer was a very unexpected wrench into my plans. I had, you know, I thought I had figured it all out, you know, I was going to get out of practice and go on with the studio. And that was the end of law for me. But it was just, I think it started, I guess, with right after COVID started, I was just finishing covering a mat leave as contract counsel for a friend of mine who, coincidentally, I had run into her while I was teaching a bar class, and I hadn't seen her for years and years. And it was after class, we started chatting, and she was like, "Are you still practicing law?" And I said, yeah, but you know, I just left in-house and I think I'm going to go out on my own. And she says, "Oh," she's like, "That's great. Do you want," she goes, "do you want to, I'm going to go on mat leave in about 6 months. Do you want to cover for me? You can join now. I can give you sort of the overflow work and then you can cover for me during mat leave." And so I was like, okay, great. So I did that for the 1 year. And then I sort of continued to do a little contract counsel work for her. And then I was doing this sort of as my part-time lawyer gig, I suppose, while I was opening the studio. And then again, fast forward to after COVID hits, I'm just finishing covering her second mat leave. And I was kind of thinking, okay, well, I'll continue the practice for a little while longer until the studio is doing a little bit better. But then unfortunately, COVID comes. And then now, of course, like so many small businesses, we're facing some serious financial challenges with shutdowns and such and limited and restrictions, I guess, on class attendance and all of the things. And so I happened to also then start thinking about, well, you know, this is maybe not going, it's going to be a couple of years before I can, you know, we can actually make this work. So, okay, I need to look back into potentially, you know, more law practice again, so that we can make it through this COVID situation. And if we don't, then I'm not in the worst position ever. So I'm looking around thinking about it, but not really seriously, because honestly, I really am having trouble getting myself back to full-time practice. And then I get this message from Good Lawyer, and they reach out and say, "Hey, you know, you're an entrepreneur and, you know, it's tough times right now. And we want to offer you as an entrepreneur a free legal advice session." And so I take a look at Good Lawyer's website and I'm like, "Oh, what? I'm so confused. What is going on? What is this?" So I reach out to them and I'm like, "Hey, so I don't really need the free advice session because I am the lawyer for the studio, but what are you doing? What is going on here? I think I'm interested. What's happening?" So it was one conversation, and all I could think was, this is like what I've been waiting for since the day I decided I didn't want to practice law. And realizing like there is no other option for me. And so I'm out. And now all of a sudden, Good Lawyer, I'm like, wow, you are the option I've been waiting for since the beginning. And here you are. And I get to practice part-time. This is unheard of, you know, for the most part. And I get to practice on my schedule. And you guys are going to handle essentially the business side of my practice so that I can focus on just doing the work. What? This is amazing. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to try it out. Let's do this. And so it was probably within the first week of working with Good Lawyer clients that I was also then suddenly like, oh God, for the first time, I actually like practicing. Like, these clients that I'm dealing with, they wouldn't otherwise be able to get legal help or afford it. They don't know how to access it. It's intimidating. It's confusing. It's all of those things. So, and now I got to help them. And at the end of our conversation, they're like, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much. We're so excited to work with you. You have no idea how much better this makes me feel. I can sleep at night, blah, blah, blah." And it's just, I couldn't believe it. Now suddenly I'm like, oh, what do I do now? I love the studio, but it turns out I actually do like practicing law. And I'm 10 years in. For the first time ever, I actually want to practice. And I can't wait to get onto the platform and check my messages and talk to my clients. I don't know. What am I going to do? I feel like I'm at this fork in the road where now I have to choose again. What do I do? Go back to practice or do I do the studio? I don't know if I can do both. I now have two kids and they're getting older. And apparently I forgot about the part where I have to teach them things for life, you know? So so that basically, once again, I am again at this point in my life where I don't know what I'm going to do. So keep the studio, keep lawyering. And so I guess we'll just see how it goes. And then, yeah, fast forward, I guess I have a little bit of some life things happen. And then I sort of end up trying to rejuggle everything again, because I don't think I can do both. And I come to basically the conclusion that stepping away from from ownership of the studio is going to have to be, is the only way to go. And so I do that. I step away from the studio. I'm still going to teach because I love it so much. And that still gives me a tiny little bit of toe in the waters that I have loved for so long. And then as I'm thinking actually in my head about this new other business idea that I have. And one day I'm chatting with the founder, Brett Colvin. I'm chatting with him about just all things practice and whatever. And then I mentioned, yeah, I've left the studio and, you know, I've got this new business idea I'm thinking about. And then basically he says to me, are you, you know, maybe are you interested in joining Good Lawyer on the other side of it? And once again, I'm like, what? I never thought about that. But yeah, and so through a few more months of talking about it, and then suddenly I've joined Good Lawyer again on the business side of it, trying to improve the experience for their lawyers and of course for the clients as well. And I so much believe in what they are doing. It changed my life. I think as I told you guys, I kind of mark my life in terms of before Good Lawyer and after Good Lawyer. So when I said that out loud for the first time was when I thought, wow, like that's pretty big. And I must really believe in what they are doing to say something like that. And so when that opportunity came up to join them on the other side, I was like, yeah, I'm in. I'm all over this. I think you guys are changing the industry. It's revolutionary and I am all for it. It is going to make lawyers' lives better. It's going to make clients' lives better. This is why I got into the law in the first place. And now I actually get to do it. So yeah, I'm totally in.
I love hearing more about that because I didn't realize that that's how you got onto the Good Lawyer platform. I just assumed that you just joined as a lawyer and didn't know that whole fun backstory of, you know, thinking that you might need a advice session. But I, as I said earlier, love the emails that come from Pauline, and it's so cool to see how your role has developed through Good Lawyer. As I've been on the platform this summer, I guess will be 2 years. And so it's really cool to see how much it's been growing recently. And there's so many more lawyers on the platform and so many others that you can bounce ideas off of and talk to. And it just makes life so much easier when you just click and you see when your meeting is, and then you click bill out and then it's done. And it's just all the back end work done for you, all of the headache gone. And of course, there's a whole team that can help you. So thank you so much for sharing a bit more about that role and how it's changed your life. But we would love to hear more about what has been one of the most significant setbacks you faced in your career and what you learned from it.
Okay. So I guess this is sort of this would have been sort of the pivot point for me for in the studio journey, I guess. By far, I would say the greatest setback that I've dealt with happened, I guess, maybe just a couple years ago now. I had to deal with some serious mental and physical trauma. And it's crazy when I think back about it now. It was just like lightning came out of nowhere and just struck me. And I had never ever dealt with anything like this before in my life. I had zero ways to cope with it, even though at the time I thought, you know what, that's okay. This is like any other sort of hurdle I've faced in my life. I can deal with it. I will figure it out and move forward. And it's not going to, nothing stops here. This doesn't define me. It's not going to change. It will change temporarily, but I will figure it out. It didn't take very long for it to become very apparent that it wasn't something that I was prepared to face or deal with. And it really affected how I was able to work. It affected me day to day so much that like, it was just unbelievable how much my work suffered for it. No ability to focus, no attention, no memory. And as you know, those are really important skills for what we do as a lawyer. I didn't know how much help I needed. I didn't know how bad it really was. And so I didn't really ask for help. It's really, which is difficult for me because I think generally I like to think of myself as being fairly self-aware, but there was nothing. Like I wasn't understanding how terrible it actually was. And it kind of got into a situation where I finally, it took a while. It took a while before I really realized that I needed help. And then, so when I realized it, finally, I reached out and I asked for help with work. And it's, to this day, it's still, it's difficult for me to realize how little help I got. There was really no support. There was maybe a little bit of support, very surfacey level, and not so, no understanding, I think, of what I was going through. And so I faced quite a bit of criticism for my work, which was really difficult. I mean, I've always done as best as I could and received, you know, generally favorable comments about my work, but dealing with this trauma and trying to work my way through it was difficult enough, only to find out that the view was that I'm not doing enough and I'm not, and the work that I am doing is no good, even after I had explained sort of the reason why I was asking for help and why the work had sort of been suffering. So I'm still sort of, there's a lot of processing and learning from that still. And it's really funny because most days I feel like it's, you know, it's okay. I'm far past enough it that I can talk about it without getting emotional or upset about it, but it's still really difficult. So I am learning, I'm still processing, I'm thinking through it. But I think what I have learned is that I need to ask for help way, way, way before I think I need to, because wherever it is that I think I need help, it's probably at sort of a beyond an emergency level. I need to back up and ask for help before I think I need it, which is much easier said than done. But what can you do, right? You live and learn and try again the next time. I think on the other side of it is that I've also realized that there's really a big gap in knowledge out there for people understanding the effects of what trauma can do to you in the work context, at least, and how to deal with it and how to support, sort of how to recognize that, I guess, and see this happening to somebody that you work with, and then understand how you can support them. This is something that I can see that sometime in the future, this is something that I really, really want to make a contribution to, whether it's sharing my experiences or learning how to support people and providing that support, whatever it is. I can see that down the road, this is something that I'm going to, I wouldn't say become very passionate about, but I can see myself getting very passionate about it. For the time being, I'm still trying to learn and process what happened and deal with that. So I think it's sort of a bit of a, well, it's a touchy spot. So I don't think I can really sit down and do the work. I don't think I can do the work yet, but I can see this is something that I'm going to want to speak about and help others with going forward in the future. I think and I also think that as a lawyer, I think the justice system that we are part of and generally society has a whole lot of learning and a whole lot of listening and then taking action. I think that we are all part of that and we can help push the narrative forward. But I'm just not quite ready for that yet. But I want to do something about this eventually, because I don't think any of us should ever have to face what I faced and what I'm sure others have faced as well.
Thank you for feeling like safe in this space. And I can see like the way that your body has changed, like talking about this. And I'm like sending you all of like the love and like self-compassion and all of the support as like you continue to work through this. And whenever you're ready, if you're ready, whenever that day comes, come back and we'll do another episode about unpacking trauma and the lack of support you faced. And I know that Erin and I, definitely could contribute to this topic and have talked about this at length with Ava Williams in an episode last season. And so we just so appreciate you sharing that with us. I have just like one quick question, and maybe you don't know the answer, and that's okay. I'm a big proponent of saying, actually, I don't know, because I think that's a really good way to be honest. But if I know personally, I as well sometimes struggle with asking for help. And in the situation you just described, you asked for help and then you were met with such resistance and lack of support. Is there advice you would give to someone or give to your past self about like how to move forward with those steps to ask for help, or like how to kind of support yourself in asking for that help? I'm not sure if I'm phrasing it correctly, but does that make sense? Like, how would you have... like, what would you tell your past self, or what would you tell somebody else like right now in a similar situation who really needs help, but maybe doesn't know where to turn or how to open up or how to even talk about what they're going through, but like their work is slipping, but they're really struggling at the same time?
Yeah, I have two sort of minds about it, I suppose. I think if I were to go back, I would have started maybe with, it's so hard. I'm both ways about it. I think about starting with somebody who is super, super, super close to you, so that inevitably, I mean, it's really hard because when you go through trauma, you really don't, you don't know who's going to support you and who won't. Like, it feels like nobody will in so many ways. But so I want to say, you know, start with somebody who's really close with you and that you know is very most likely 99, I mean, nothing's for sure, but like 99% going to support you, and sort of use that as your sounding board, but also you would be comfortable hopefully approaching this person for help because you know them so well and that you know they are going to support you. And so that's sort of one mind of it. But on the other hand, I have to say that like there's really nothing like talking to somebody who doesn't know you and is sort of this independent third party who knows nothing about your life, knows nothing about you before the moment you speak to them and say this to them. But on the other hand, I understand that it's not so easy to just blurt out, you know, your issues and your problems to somebody who you don't know, which leads me to, that's a therapist, you know, like, you know, talk to your therapist, talk to a therapist so that you can get some help in understanding, you know, maybe by talking through with them, you can then understand who you can then turn around to in your life, your work, your personal life, whatever, and find out from them how maybe they think you should approach the situation at work, if that makes sense. But it's so hard because it's not so easy just to step forward and say, I need to talk to a therapist. You know, it's not so easy to do something like that. And yeah, I think it's that's a tough one. I don't really know. And I think especially, I would say for a lot of people, but I would say lawyers in particular, we're always told that, you know, if you need to do it, just figure it out, go find out how to do it and then do it. And so it's harder, I think, to reach out and say, I don't know, I'm in uncharted territory here and I don't know and I can't figure it out. And I don't even want to try because what is the point? Like, frankly, I can't therapy myself. So, you know, I need to reach out and get someone else to help me with this, or go to work and say, I'm dealing with something here. I need help. Yeah, it's really hard. And then of course, like in my situation, I reached out to several people and I did get some support for sure. But then it's really hard when you've gotten that sort of resistance and no support and basically criticism, then that you turn around and you think, well, now I don't know who to talk to. I really don't know. I thought I could talk to you about this, but I can't. So yeah, it's really hard. I feel like maybe reaching out to somebody who is essentially like a therapist, who is an uninterested third party, they have no stake or no, you know, vested interest. They can sort of give you some tools and some thoughts, you know, some reasonable, objective thoughts about how to deal with what's next.
No, thank you so much for sharing, Pauline. And if anyone who's listening is looking for some support, we link how to access free therapy through Your Law Society in every episode notes. So the episode you're listening to right now, if you go to the little write-up attached to the episode, every lawyer, paralegal, and their dependents across Canada has the ability to access free therapy through the Members Assistance Program with their Law Society. So you can head to our episode notes to check that out.
That is so beautiful. Oh my gosh. I love it.
We always love talking about therapy, and I think it's tough in our profession. I know when I was articling, and I was definitely, you know, more scared to say, oh, I got to leave today at 5 because I have a therapy appointment. Whereas, you know, if I was saying I have a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment, no problem. But now, I mean, obviously we talk about it on the podcast all the time and I'm my own boss. So I talk about it a lot more freely, but it's definitely a tough subject to broach in our very conservative profession. So hopefully anyone who's listening, if you need help, you can reach out to those resources that we have linked. But Pauline, can you tell us a bit about how you take care of your mental health while we're on this subject?
Yeah. So, and I'm just always, I always want to start this one. I am no expert. I'm still working on this every single day of every single hour of every single day. Some days are better than others. Some days are not so great. And then some days are, I feel like I'm killing it. It's very much, I think, a long-term vision of what that looks like. There's always going to be hard days, I think. And when those hard days happen, I think you just have to go back to, I think you kind of just have to go back to the basics, you know, of it's so boring. And sometimes it sounds like, yeah, you know, like I got it. What else can I do? You know, but I think it really comes back to, you have to take care of yourself physically before, if physically you're not well, it's really difficult, I think, to be in a good space mentally. So taking care of yourself physically is really comes back to, and what does that mean? That's just like the quote unquote boring stuff of, you know, eat well, plan your meals so that you can eat well and your body feels good, drink lots of water. You know, I spent the last couple of years, actually, I cut coffee entirely. I love coffee, but I just found that like I could feel it in my body. I was anxious, I was stressed. Drinking coffee just like made that so much more. It just doubled the impact of all of that stress and anxiety. So I cut it, and I've never been so happy, except for the fact I really miss the taste of it. But so like just back to the basics of taking care of yourself, exercise, that is so hard. It's so hard. I mean, coming from being a former studio owner and teaching classes, I was struggling getting in my workouts when I was owning a studio, and people are like, oh, you're so lucky you have a studio and, you know, you work out for a living. And I'm like, no, not really. I spend a lot of time behind a desk and then I get to teach classes. But when I teach, it's not the same as doing a class for myself, right? And being in my body and thinking about what is happening in my body. Instead, I'm talking to everybody else about theirs and showing them what to do, which is not quite the same. But so I get it. Like, exercise is not something that you can always get in. I do think that the new, you know, semi-virtual world of, you know, online workout videos and classes and stuff like that is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. It makes it so much easier to do a class when you can do it in your pajamas. You know, you roll out of bed, do it in your pajamas at home. You don't have to get dressed in anything special, you know. And so exercise, I think getting away, getting outside, which is, you know, something that I think practicing on Good Lawyer is so, so great. I can turn off my calendar. I am not available. And I can actually take that time to go outside. I could do a class. I go to the park with my kids. I can have a nap, like whatever it is that I need to sort of feel better that day. I will say exercise is a really key one. I have had times when I can feel it in my body. I'm stressed. I can feel my heart just pounding, and I'll go do a quick, even 20 minutes. I'll do a 20-minute class, or I'll just go for a walk for 15 minutes. And then when I come back, all of a sudden, everything's calm again. My body feels better, and I'm not freaking out inside, basically. Sleeping, that's another thing.
Sleeping is always, always the answer, I think. but thank you so much, Pauline, for sharing so much wisdom and for really just sharing everything with us. I really appreciate it. We really appreciate it. But we love to end every episode with the same question, which is, what is something new you've learned recently?
Okay, so let me think. I think, yeah, I'm just coming to the conclusion, I guess, that what I learned recently is I am never really, I think, going to settle down into one specific career. I don't think anyone's ever going to be able to pin me down to one specific thing. Although I will say, Good Lawyer is probably having the best chance so far of all the things I've run into in my life. And part of me, though, doesn't really want to be tied down to just one single thing. Our time here is so very, very short. And I just feel like there's so many things to experience and to do and to live and to love and to hate, you know, and find out that, you know, I really don't want to do that. That sucks. Why not? You know, you'll never figure it out if you don't try. So we're here for not very long. I feel like we should be taking advantage of every moment to do all of the things that you want to do, you don't want to do. And then if you figure out, you know, there's a path that's better for you, great. If you don't, great. If you figure out that you want to do all of the paths, why not? We don't know if we're going to get another chance to do it all over again. So why not?
No, Pauline, I love that. Thank you so much for filling us in with all of these tidbits of wisdom. Like, I know that Erin and I have been so looking forward to recording with you. For anyone that doesn't know Pauline, like, her energy is like so relaxing, but like also really like energizing and contagious. It is like the best type of energy to be around. I cannot wait to one day, hopefully, head to Calgary and take an in-person Bar West class. That would be so fun. Erin can come with me. We can like go together. It would be a blast. But Pauline, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And we've linked all the ways that you can keep up with Pauline in the episode notes. But to stay up to date with the podcast, you can follow us on Instagram at Off the Tracks Podcast and stay tuned for our next episode next Tuesday.
Thank you again to our partner, Lawbroker, Legal's first customer experience platform powered by lawyers. To learn more, visit lawbroker.com and see how you can join the movement to become a modern lawyer.